It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad here with you on this Wednesday morning. And I've got some tickets to give away, Joe.
Uh-oh.
A pair of tickets to see Volbeat at Municipal Auditorium on Monday, April the 13th. The show is presented by our sister station, 102.9 The Buzz. Be caller 5 at 615-747-6220. Again, that's 615-747-6220. Caller 5 can see Volbeat at Municipal Auditorium on Monday, April 13th. I got a pair of tickets to give away. Again, 615-747-6220.
Do I have to expose myself as an old guy who doesn't know what the heck's going on?
I mean, that's generally every time we talk about stuff like this, right, Joe? Isn't that how it goes with you?
So explain, Volbeat?
Yeah.
What's that?
They're a rock band.
You like them?
They're great.
Okay.
If I could call in for these tickets and be eligible to win, I would, but I'm just going to have to show up.
You got to play our story, man.
They're a Danish rock band, Joe. Get up with the program,
Danish?
Man.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
I like the Hives. You guys know the Hives?
I do know the Hives.
It's actually, I think, like one of Victor Arvidsson's favorite bands, by the way.
Oh.
We've talked a little
Hives.
Look at Hives. You. Yeah, that's right.
Learn some Volbeats, old man, and with my fist just...
Kids in their rock and roll.
That's right. Speaking of Victor Arvidsson, it was a tough night for the Predators last night. A 3-1 loss to the Minnesota Wild. Victor Arvidsson himself took a slash right to the hand from former Predator Ryan Hartman. Looked like Ryan Hartman was trying to... I don't know if he was trying to chop wood or what he was trying to do there, but...
Malicious?
It was borderline malicious. And, you know, we get into this conversation a little bit with Ryan Hartman. It happened a couple times while he was here. Remember, he got... Did he get suspended in that series against Colorado? When they... I think he did.
He got
like
a game,
right?
He got a game.
Yeah. Like, he toes that line a little bit. Now, you can make a pretty good case. And Chris Mason even said it. It was a dirty play, the slash that he had against Victor Arvidsson last night. Luckily, Arvidsson seems to be okay. He did return to the game later in the third period. But
yeah,
that was rough for a second.
Imagine a long-term loss of him right now. Not that he's, you know, lighting up the world, but still pretty important guy to have on the ice.
Lose him. There's no question about that. And just a really tough loss last night for the Predators. And, you know, after what happened Monday, it's 3-3 heading into the third period against the Oilers. Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl go nuts in the third period. They win the game 8-3. You know, Roman Josi said it after the Edmonton game. They got to come out mad. They got to come out hungry, ready to go. I just didn't sense that last night in that first period. Minnesota gets out to a 2-0 lead. Cunningham scores a goal. Fiala scores a goal. They really dominated the first part of that game. It just didn't feel like, to me, the Predators came out with a ton of energy in that game. And maybe that's the back-to-back. Maybe it's just as simple as that with all the games they've played as of late. But I thought Minnesota was by far the quicker team early in that game.
Yeah. And I don't know what anger – I mean, anger has its limits on how it's going to translate to a performance.
Yeah, you can be as angry as you want and still not be executing very well. It doesn't do you any good.
Right. You can be angry and tired, and it doesn't matter. But it's not an excuse, but I'm just saying I agree with you. They looked like they were a half step behind them, and, of course, then you make the huge mistake in the defensive zone and give them a slam dunk, and now you're playing from behind. I thought the first goal, and it's It's a hockey cliche. It's probably always true, but I thought the first goal was really important in that game. And in some of these road games, when the Preds have been struggling and they need a performance, they've gone on the road and gotten a big win, and they've gotten an early goal to get them going. And, you know, Fiala roofs that shot against Saros on a really
nice
play. And at that point, it was like, I don't see this team coming back. And they didn't.
They did not. Even though I did think they played better in the second part of that game, but like nobody really cares about that this time of year. It's all about the results on the ice. Craig Smith scored his 18th goal of the season last night, which I believe puts him in a tie for the team leading goals at 18 with Philip Forsberg, who seems like he's been stuck on 18 goals forever, and Nick Bonino, who I think scored his 18th goal of the season the other night. You know, it's just kind of the same old story with these guys. Duchesne, Forsberg, even though he got an assist last night, they're just not putting the puck in the net. And Johansson missed last night's game because of an illness, which that seems to be a problem in the Predators' dressing room right now. Bonino missed time with an illness. Pecorine missed time with an illness. Now Ryan Johansson missing time with an illness. Unfortunately, NHL teams and NHL locker rooms, sometimes you go through this throughout the course of the season. I remember, I think it was like the Ducks a few years ago, and they weren't the only team, but like the mumps hit the NHL. Ugh. It was an awful, awful time. And sometimes when you're in those tight kind of, you know, not very much space in those locker rooms, you're around each other all the time, you're on the plane, you're in the hotel room together, like sometimes it's pretty easy for those diseases to spread, and it looks like the Predators are going through a little bit of that right now.
Yeah, and you hope it doesn't keep going through the locker room because you need everyone you've got. Even though right now this team's not playing well, you've got to have your key guys. So hopefully that fades away, because obviously there's a lot of illness talk in the sports world right now on with various concerns. And of course you got the NBA saying don't high five because of the coronavirus, for example. You got some college basketball teams canceling games too in the Pacific Northwest because of the coronavirus. And I'm not saying the Preds have the coronavirus.
No. This is not related. But it just does go to show that sometimes when you've got diseases going around, that, you know, it's sometimes can be really difficult to prevent those from spreading, especially in a situation like the Predators in, where they're just around each other all the time. Like, that's a tough part of the business there.
Yeah, and the Preds' key players have the drought going on.
They do.
That's the thing that's got to end here soon. Probably against Dallas in these next two games, they're going to need those guys to produce like they haven't been able to against Dallas.
Yeah, there's no question. And, Joe, we talked about this earlier in the show. One of the things that stood out to me last night in the Minnesota game, it's the second period. I think Minnesota's still up 2-0 at this point. And Jordan Greenway basically just plows over the top of UC Saros in net, gets called for goaltender interference. It's a penalty. It's absolutely warranted. You go back and watch the replay, and he basically just ran right into UC Saros. And Dante Fabbro is sitting there. I think Yossi was there. Duchesne was there. A couple of other guys around the play. And Dante Fabbro takes exception to it and just goes after Greenway, gets into it with a couple of guys on Minnesota. And nobody else on the Predators is really doing anything. Like, and it got me thinking, like, has it come to this with this group that the 21-year-old rookie defenseman is the one having to step in there and answer the bell when things happen like that? And look, sometimes in hockey this gets overblown of you got to respond and you got to get in there and show that you're going to stand up for yourselves. Like, I think so often that's just so overblown in hockey. But that did kind of say something to me that, you know, Yossi's standing right there, Duchesne standing right there, UC Saros just got bowled over. And Fabbro is really the only one stepping in and doing anything about it. And for a second, it looked like it came at a cost. Fabbro limps off. He's not having much success in putting weight on his foot. Later came back in the game. But that's just something that stood out to me as pretty concerning, I'll be honest with you, last night, Joe.
Well, I mean, look, there are teams where you get within an inch of their goaltender and you're going to take a pop to the face. And it's going to be a, you know, not a all-out fight, but it's going to be a scrum, and you're going to get moved out of there, and there's going to be a lot of pushing and shoving back and forth. We see the Preds run into teams like this, and I think it's fair to look at that situation and say, where's the deterrent? Where's the pushback? And and the anger when something like that happens. I think good on Fabro for responding the way he did. Although, yeah, I thought when he left the ice, like, man, that's a costly moment.
He went down really awkwardly.
But, yeah, you would like other guys around there to respond in that way. And this is going back to – it was last year, right? Gosh, I get my seasons mixed up. It was last year that they picked up Cody McLeod, right, for a time?
Yeah. 2 years ago, I think.
It was two years ago. Gosh,
and they're making their run to the President's Trophy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that I mean, why did they
why
do
they
that?
Did it,
why do you do that?
Yeah.
That's the only reason why. And, of course, we were all like, well, he's – how could he be in your lineup? And he wasn't much, but he was around, and it was someone you could throw out there. And they've searched for, obviously, ideally, you have good hockey players who have that instinct and have that kind of aggression to not only keep people off your goalie, but keep people off your star players. And this team does not have enough of that either.
Yeah, and, you know, we talked yesterday about the leadership on the group and Josi as captain. We just had a text come in that says, Josi, that's because Yossi's a horrible captain. Ellis would have been on him like a spider monkey.
Wait, what was the second part?
Ellis would have been on him like a spider monkey. I don't think so. I mean,
Ellis is part of the leadership group, too.
Yeah, like, why is he not? If there's a leader in that room that's not leading because Yossi's the captain, then they're not much of a leader to begin with. Like, that's what I go back to. Johnny writes in and says, Thursday's the first time the Preds will play the Stars since Perry's cheap shot on Ellis. If a game like that can't inspire this team to get a W, the season's done, as much as I hate to say it. I do wonder what sort of response there will be on Thursday to Corey Perry and the Dallas Stars from the hit he laid on Ryan Ellis.
Well, and look, they did respond to Bortuzzo, and I think that was a galvanizing thing and part of winning that game too. Now, sometimes you can get too caught up in responding that it can hurt your performance.
Yeah.
But I think that the way they came out with some fight and some anger against the Blues in that first, I think it was the first time Bortuzzo and Arvidsson were both on the ice, right?
Yeah.
I think that was a part of how they played too. So, yeah, I think that they should, that's a good point. I mean, I think anytime anyone goes up against Corey Perry, they should want to punch him in the face anyway.
Yeah,
like that should be a natural instinct.
Yes.
But, yeah, you would like to see them give him a little extra when they get a chance.
When we come back, it was really cool to see kind of the league-wide support for the city of Nashville from the National Hockey League last night. I want to get into that a little bit. Sean Henry scheduled to join us at 8:30. Nashville, before we go to break, Nashville is a proud and supportive city with a great willingness to help out when needed. Obviously, we're all aware of what happened yesterday morning in our city and in our surrounding area. If you're looking for ways that you can volunteer or donate, visit thegamenashville.com/Nashville Strong to find a list of how you can help those affected by the terrible storms that have moved through our area. When we come back, we'll talk about how the NHL has responded to the tragedy that's taken place in our community. That's next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic taking you through this Wednesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And Joe, you know, it was a tough show to do yesterday, and thanks again to you and Marquise for how we were able to kind of get through that together, just reacting to what happened in our community, what happened around our neighborhood with the tornado outbreak, stretching from, of course, here in East Nashville to North Nashville, Germantown, all the way into Mount Juliet and Lebanon, and then, of course, Benton County, Putnam County as well, where the devastation in Putnam County specifically is just pretty difficult to believe. It was just a really tough show yesterday as we were reacting to the news. You know, when we get in to start the show, the sun is still down, so you can't really see much of the devastation that was left behind. But obviously, you know, as the hours went by yesterday and the sun continued to rise and more became visible, we got just a scope of how extensive the damage was, how tragic the circumstances were. Unfortunately, as the death toll continued to climb, I think we're at 24 confirmed dead at this time. And it just got me thinking yesterday, like, you know, it's such a tragic situation, but we've seen already in our community so much good come from it in terms of people helping other people recover, people helping other people clean things up already. I know just from some friends of mine that I have and watching some reports on the news yesterday, there were people driving around all throughout East Nashville trying to do what they could to help through Germantown as well. I know in Mount Juliet, Lebanon area, Putnam County, there were people all over the place trying to do whatever they could to help. And the NHL last night was no different. Chicago, the Blackhawks donated a portion of their 50-50 raffle that they do on a game-by-game basis to help relief efforts here in Nashville. The Minnesota Wild donated $50,000. I think the NHL donated $50,000. Just really cool to see the support from other teams across the league to Nashville and our area.
Oh, no doubt about it. And, you know, of course, obviously Craig Leopold has a link here.
Yes.
Former owner of the Preds. But beyond that, you've seen a lot from the NHL and just a lot from all around. I just shared a tweet from Gentry Estes, who is in Putnam County right now with the volunteers. And I mean, you know, I'm looking at this photo and it looks like certainly hundreds of people. And I mean, you know, if you step back with the camera, you might be into four digits with that. People right now in Putnam County helping turn out. And of course, there are still the number is going down on missing people, which is great.
Great news. It's gone down to 24 because last night, I'll be honest with you, I was watching the news and they came out with the original report that 77 people were still unaccounted for in Putnam County. And look, I don't think I'm any different than most people. When you hear in a storm search that you're going through and trying to perform search and rescue operations, and you hear that 77 people are still unaccounted for, I think you as a human being, you automatically just assume the worst at that point. I know that's what I did, and that's unfortunate to say, but that's just the reality of the situation. Then they did a good job of getting the names out there of exactly who was unaccounted for, and that number throughout the night, as more and more people started to be, they were reached out to, people were discovered that they were okay, that number dwindled, I think, all the way down to 38 by the time we started the show this morning. And then Nikki Genowitz of Fox 17 News came out about an hour ago and said that that number is now down to 24. So trending in the right direction of people, you know, they're getting in contact with other people, they're being accounted for, and hopefully that continues to happen throughout Putnam County and we can get this number from 24 down to zero people unaccounted for in the right way.
Yeah, exactly, in the right way. And I looked at that list like, oh my gosh, there's so many people that they just haven't found yet. I mean, that's what you think. The worst goes through your mind. But that's the thing in things like this is people lose their phones or just don't have, you know, phone service or whatever it is, you know, or just didn't even realize in some cases probably that they're on that list and have reached out. So that's been great to see. I mean, Putnam County, Cookeville, that place really got hit. And by accounts, it sounds like it was quite a, you know, it was quite a surprise. I mean, this was, you know, tornadoes hitting like this in the middle of the night like that, it's a rarity from my understanding of this. So you had people who were basically caught completely off guard by this and some very tragic stories within that, but hopefully that number goes down because people are being found or are reaching out and letting people know they're okay.
Yeah, and like even yesterday while we were doing the show, I mean, I had some friends in Lebanon that I had reached out to as we got in here yesterday morning and to try to check on and say, hey, are you okay? Like, what's going on? And we got through the end of the show, and I still hadn't heard from them. And, of course, as that starts to happen, the more and more time that goes by, you get nervous. Finally, I got out of the show, and one of them texted me back. He's like, yeah, man, we're okay. Like, our power's been out, and we haven't been able to charge our phones. I'm sitting here in the car right now charging my phone. And he was like, the tornado was less than a mile away from my house. I could hear it from our front porch. It was, you know, terrifying. But at least, you know, you forget, like, you know, power's out. How heavily do we rely on our phones nowadays to get in contact with people?
Yeah.
It's a luxury we haven't always had, but some nervous times yesterday, I'm sure, for a lot of people.
No, no question. And I know, you know, of course, for me, from people, just about everybody I know in Michigan has texted me. And, you know, of course, people have no idea. But this is one of those things that, of course, is a is a big story nationally, too. So people are looking at Nashville and wondering what the heck is going on and reaching out to people who live here. And I think you're also seeing, you know, support from people. And you're going to see, you know, the volunteering, the people helping out, but you're going to see a big financial push, too. And yesterday, Mayor John Cooper, Governor Bill Lee had a few press conferences. I think they did a great job of keeping us informed. And, you know, the early returns on, I think it was already 350,000 in donations quickly, immediately. And then, of course, you're going to get federal funding. You know, a state of emergency helps that. So, I mean, I think all the responses so far have been, you know, have been as positive as you could hope for.
And just to kind of continue with the trend around the NHL, Barry Trotz made some comments yesterday morning at New York Islanders morning skate about just the situation going on here in Nashville and how his prayers were with the city. Former Predator P.K. Subban has made his voice known on Twitter. It says, "Nashville will always be a place I call home. My heart is with Roman Josi and the whole Preds NHL organization. Condolences to the families who have lost loved ones. To volunteer, go to HON.org. To donate, Community Foundation of Middle Tennessee at CFMT.org. Really cool stuff for P.K. Subban, who obviously when you hear him talk and you hear him reminisce about his time in Nashville, still holds a very special place in his heart.
Yeah, and you knew, I mean, P.K., he, you know, instantly became such a big part of Nashville to me when he was here, and I think he did some great things here. And so no surprise to see him jumping up like this. And I bet you we'll hear more from him on this.
Oh, I would say that we probably will. And, you know, we're going to have Sean Henry join us at 8:30. We're going to get into a little bit of this with him. And, you know, this is not the first time that we as a city have gone through a tragic circumstance, you know, since the Predators, since Sean Henry has been here. You know, the flood back in 2010, which affected, you know, that affected the arena. That got all the way into, you know, the locker rooms up on Fifth Avenue. I mean, it was a pretty crazy time. If you weren't here for the floods in 2010, I mean, water was everywhere. Opry Mills was totally flooded. There were a lot of places that were just completely unrecognizable. And that's, you know, I got home yesterday and spent time with my wife, and we were just watching what was going on TV and neighborhoods in East Nashville and Germantown that you're so familiar with. I mean, popular restaurants, you know, that I'd gone to a lot over in Germantown, just gone. And it's one of those things where it almost doesn't even feel like it's real. And then you watch it and you make the connection immediately. Okay, like, yes, it is real, number one. And these are real life people that this has affected. And I think it forces you to kind of take inventory and take stock of how much we all have to be thankful for.
No doubt about that. And that's something, it's hard to say that there's any positive out of this, of course. I'm not saying that, but that is something perspective that you hope carries on after this, because things like this force people to look at things in different ways.
Absolutely. When we come back, Predators president and CEO Sean Henry will join us, and we'll get into a little bit of the response to the tornadoes that the Predators are doing out there and a whole lot more. That's coming up next here on Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic. And it's been a very trying 36-hour period for our community with the tornado outbreak, the storms that rolled through late Monday night into Tuesday morning, and just everything that's gone on from that, the devastation, the destruction, but also the response that we've seen in our community. And the Nashville Predators have been a big part of that response. And to help us talk a little bit more about that, we bring in our good friend Sean Henry, Predators president and CEO. Sean, thanks so much for coming on with us this morning. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys. Good morning.
Absolutely. So, Sean, yesterday, first off, hope everything is well with you and your family. Joe and I were talking about, you know, just kind of leaving the game Monday night. We knew that, you know, rain was coming in, storms were coming in, but I don't think any of us kind of anticipated what would happen on Monday night. What was your experience like late Monday night and into Tuesday morning as you saw the events of the storm unfold?
Well, unfortunately, a lot like yours. You know, you're so egocentric, or at least I am. You're leaving the game. You're not feeling great about the result. You're down. You go home. You watch the game again. You kick the dog once or twice, figuratively, of course. And then about, I don't know, 2 in the morning, we woke up and we had about 25 missed calls for my son who lives in Germantown. You realize how fast what was happening, you know, came right to your front door, if you will. And, you know, fortunately he was safe and I was able to get out, but his place is devastated. And I think a lot of people woke up the same way that day, and I think everyone had a 25, 36-hour straight wake-up zone. And it does put everything in perspective. There's no doubt about it. And what's amazing about our community is how fast people come together. I mean, literally, people are just driving downtown into Germantown and East Nashville and, you know, even points west with cases of garbage bags, work gloves, and just an attitude to help people.
So your son's so his place got damaged. Was he in it when this happened, Sean?
Yeah, he was, and you know, he was fortunate. He was with a friend of his, and I heard it coming. And then they got in the bathroom, and you know, when it was all over, he came out, and everything in the place was blown out. I had to leave. It took him a couple hours just to go a mile or so. Very fortunate. His car was untouched. His friend's was destroyed. So yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, this is an awful set of circumstances. And obviously,
but again, we're lucky. I mean, that's the other. You know, we can look at that and complain about it and cry about it, or you can flip that over and say, my gosh, you know, look how fortunate we were. You know what you're supposed to do, and he did it, and we were able to get out. Unfortunately, there are 15, 20, 25 families that aren't saying the same thing today.
Absolutely, yeah. And Sean, it's hard to find a positive at all out of this situation, but I guess the one positive would be that our community and the community in Putnam County and over in Mount Juliet, Lebanon, everywhere that's been affected, I think has responded to exactly how we thought they would, and that is trying to lend a helping hand wherever they possibly can. What kind of steps are the Predators and you guys hoping to take in order to help these relief efforts? And also, I know you guys did a great thing yesterday opening up Bridgestone Arena around 11 o'clock to feed people some lunch as well.
Yeah, that was a knee-jerk reaction. I think sometimes we all have to step back and recognize we all want to do something. But you know, as the governor and the mayor said so well yesterday, and we all know it in our heart, you have to step back, you have to wait. You have to let the first responders do their job, almost stay out of their way, because the time to give and jump in and volunteer is going to, unfortunately, be in place for a long, long time. And we're going to be recovering from this for a while. But so our first thing was, okay, get out of the way of the first responders. How do we support them? So, you know, we had a couple hundred people at work yesterday saying, what can we do? How can we help? And the one thing we know how to do pretty well is cook some food and open up those doors and put a smile on people's faces. And that's what we did. You know, it's didn't really advertise it. You know, you'd, I don't know, 100, 200 people just walk in off the streets, get some pizza, some soda, some cookies. And then we had a chance to deliver that food to police precinct and a couple of other stations, again, without trying to enter the zone. So that kind of was our first step, and then obviously quickly had a meeting about what can we do, how do we rally, how do we use tonight's concert, tomorrow's game, Friday, Saturday's concerts as collection centers, as ways to raise money, bring awareness, bring a smile to people's faces as well. And AEG, the concert promoter for Dan and Shay on Friday and Saturday, and Dan and Shay themselves and us, we all agreed what we're going to be doing with that show. We'll announce that soon, and how to what we're going to donate, you know, just from 35,000 people come through the doors. We're going to do something again tonight and then tomorrow. Well, special auctions, ways to donate, ways to give, and then that'll be somewhat of an ongoing thing. And then with the SEC tournament, that we're going to use that as well as a way to raise some dollars and awareness of how to give, how to volunteer. And then when we're kind of done with the SEC tournament, we'll be announcing the dollar amount, if you will, that we were able to generate and then what we're also matching that with. And hopefully those funds can go somewhere important. But the best part is we can all give. And Community Foundation makes it really easy. You just go to you might want to check my math on this, but cmft.org
yep.
to donate or to find out where you can just volunteer. If you're not comfortable just doing it on your own, go to hon.org. One place is an easy way to donate $5, $500, or $50,000. And the other is a really easy way for you and your family to jump in. And that's the amazing thing. I got here a few months after the flood, and I was shocked at how the remediation from the flood occurred. And it happened from neighbors helping neighbors, and it was families that still talk about it. That, you know, on a Saturday or a Sunday, that's what they did. That was their Saturday event. They went and just jumped into someone's yard, someone's living room, you know, whatever it took, and did it we have a chance to do that as well. You know, it would be more fun to be talking about our games, wins or losses, by the way. But this is more important. It really is.
Yeah, and as Sean said, if you want to volunteer, sign up with HandsOnNashville@HON.org. You can also donate to the Community Foundation of Middle Tennessee at CFMT.org. Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, Sean, we know, obviously, about some of the response in Minnesota, Chicago. What other kind of interactions have you had around the league? What kind of response have you seen?
Well, immediately, and that's why I love our industry. It's not just our league. I really love our league, of course. It's nice to be kind of the go-to league for, you know, when areas need it. And the outpouring from every team. I mean, it was unreal, from phone calls to texts to emails, and then the immediate response of Craig Leopold and the Minnesota Wild and what they did. And for them, it wasn't just a donation. It was a little more personal. For Craig, obviously, he loves this community. You know, the way they also lit up the way to donate, you know, for their fans. And the moment of silence was pretty impactful. And then I did not talk to anyone for the Blackhawks before they did what they did. Obviously, I did since then. And that's just pretty powerful when they do something. And then Gary Bettman, despite being in the GM meetings all day, checked in probably four or maybe even five times. I blamed him for the second goal last night because the phone rang right when they scored. But that's something. When the commissioner of the league, you know, you start your morning off with a phone call from him, and he touches base two times during the day, and then, you know, at 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night, whatever it was, checking in as well. It really shows what it is. But the outpouring has been incredible, and I think the financial support that's going to come as well is going to be equally incredible.
Sean, last thing for you here. What would kind of your message be to the community, both here in Nashville, Mount Juliet, Lebanon, over into Putnam and Benton counties as well, everywhere that was affected? What would your message be as we all sit here as a community and try to heal together now?
I don't know if I'm qualified to give that advice, but I know for me, what we like doing is get moving. You know, you get activated, you take some action, and what's nice is everybody can help. We have financial resources, donate some dollars. If you don't think you have any skills at all, you have the skills to help. Jump in and, you know, move some debris, bring a smile to someone's face, pack all the supplies you stole from hotels and your soap and shampoos and baggies, drop that off. I mean, it's small things will get us all through this. So when there's a tragedy in community, it doesn't matter what your resources are. Every single person can help. And let's face it, there's nothing better and knowing that someone's reaching down to you and helping you up. I don't care who you are. Tornadoes don't know any socioeconomic boundaries, and I think we're all touched by this. So let's do what Nashville does. And I'm using Nashville in the greater term. I don't want anyone to send me any more texts for saying Nashville this morning. But as in a generic sense, Nashville picks up on each other, and it's a really incredible thing to be part of.
Nashville Predators President and CEO Sean Henry has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Sean, thanks so much for joining us, and obviously really happy that you and the family are okay. Best of luck as we move forward here together.
Well, same with you guys, and I look forward to talking to you more about what we can all do together to make the next few days, weeks, months easier and better and faster recovery than any of us thought could be possible. So thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks, Sean. Appreciate you. It really has been incredible to watch, you know, not only the community that we have here rally around what's happened, you know, just a short amount of time ago. I mean, you're talking about the last 36 hours, the response we've seen has just been incredible here in the community, but also league-wide as well. He mentioned there, I mean, the Blackhawks didn't really say a word about it. They just decided that that's what they were going to do, and they were going to try to help out in any way that they can. And that can be, I guess, the best way to say it is what's the best about sports, the way that it can bring people together, the way that it can kind of strengthen each other together as a common bond, and make such a huge difference in communities when they're going through tragedies like ours, unfortunately, is right now.
Yeah, and Sean mentioned those websites, you know, cfmt.org. It's very easy to give a donation there. He mentioned HON.org, Hands on Nashville. I think it was Mayor John Cooper in one of the pressers yesterday, I think, it may have been Governor Lee, but one of them said that the HON.org site had been crashing, which is, you don't want it to crash, but
it's also a good problem to have.
That tells
right?
you like, how many people immediately want to get involved here. And, you know, it's impressive. I'm not surprised by it.
I'm not either. I'm really not. And that's what we've come to expect out of our community, both here in Nashville, out in Putnam County as well. just our area here in Middle Tennessee, I think we've always been known for coming together as a community. And everything we've seen since the storms came through late Monday night and into yesterday morning, the devastation, all of that is easy to see. The way lives have been ripped apart is just unbelievably tragic. I mean, unspeakably tragic. But also the response of neighbors helping neighbors, strangers helping strangers. That's what I think you look at around the world, and that gives you hope for humanity.
It does. It's not going to take away the families that have been affected forever. No. And have lost people forever. But all we can do is try to respond to this in a positive way.
When we come back, we'll get back into the Preds discussion. A tough loss last night, 3-1 to the Minnesota Wild. Tough really past three or four games for them as they've been going up against better competition as their stretch run for the playoffs continues. That's next. You're listening to Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad. Don't miss tonight's Smashville Live featuring special guest Titans punter Brett Kern will be in the house. We'll be at Cool Springs at Drake's, located at 553 Cool Springs Boulevard, and the show starts at 7 o'clock. A limited number of autographs and pictures will be available, so be sure to get there early. Tonight's Smashville Live is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. Welcome back into Morning Drive alongside Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad. And Joe, a tough loss last night for the Nashville Predators, 3-1 against the Minnesota Wild. That takes them out of the playoffs at the moment. They were in the second wild card position. Winnipeg wins last night. They've now moved up into the second wild card position with 74 points. Minnesota jumps ahead of Nashville, 73 points, and Nashville still with 72 along with the Arizona Coyotes. And Joe, you know, they got a big win last week against the Calgary Flames. Granlund ties it with a tenth of a second left and then wins the game in overtime, and you thought to yourself, okay, we knew the quality of competition was about to step up. They had just gotten a point in Chicago. They had beaten a depleted Columbus Blue Jackets team, an Ottawa team that, quite frankly, is just not very good. They got a win in that game as well. And you felt like, okay, this is it. They're starting to kind of build up here. We know the quality of competition is about to ramp up. Get the win against Calgary, and especially in the way that they got that win and how dramatic it was. Maybe you thought that could be a launching pad. Well, since then, a 3-2 loss to Colorado, an 8-3 drubbing against Edmonton that they lost, and 3-1 to Minnesota. That makes them 1-3 in their last four games against teams that are either right there with them in the playoff race or that they're chasing, which I think if you're a Predators fan, that's kind of taken some wind out of your sails the last week or so when the quality of competition has stepped up and you haven't responded well to it.
Yeah, and you can kind of look back on some of those games and think differently about them, I think, because they beat St. Louis in those two straight games, and obviously it was like, whoa, okay, what's going on here? Then Carolina really handles them. And honestly, I mean, Pecorine is why they got a point in Chicago. That shouldn't be the case. The Ottawa and Columbus games, you're basically playing kind of half NHL, half AHL teams, and you've got to fight to beat one of them in a shootout.
Eight-round shootout.
Yeah, which, again, like, great dramatics there. So, you know, thrilling to the home crowd, but not necessarily a great performance. And you could look at Calgary now and say, man, they lucked out. Yeah, they should have had no points, and they got two out of that. So I think Jeremy Gover texted us earlier, you know, like the Colorado game might have been one of their better performances of late,
yeah,
you know. But they haven't been playing that well. So are they not playing that well because they're playing below their level, or is their level just not what we think it should be?
And you start,
that's
the more
and more
to become
you go.
A fair question. I mean, look, we've been waiting and waiting and waiting all season long for them to get to the level that we think they can play at, and it just hasn't happened. Like, so at what point, like, how long do you have to wait before you just decide, okay, I mean, this team just kind of is what it is. Maybe their level isn't as high as we, and I'll put myself in that category as well. I've been waiting all year for them to reach this new level that I fully believe that they've had. And the more time that goes by, I mean, you know, we're 65 games into a season now. Like, 66 games into a season. There's not a whole lot of time to get to that level now.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe
it's not there.
I certainly, like, I'll go back, look at something I wrote, you know, a couple months ago, and it was like, nah, everybody calm down. This team is way too much talent. I certainly look at it differently than I did then. I mean, at some point, you're just like, look, I don't think all, like, the four guys, the quartet, we have to come up with a nickname for them, the quartet of top six forwards that are not producing at the level they need to produce at. Like, I don't think that it's just reality for them. Like, sorry, this is just what they're going to be the rest of their careers. I don't think that. I think there's different situations, injuries, just, you know, bad luck in some extent, a rut. And then with a couple of those guys, they just have to play better. But I do think the overall quality of the team, you take everything into account, it's definitely less than I thought it was. I still think there's no excuse for this roster to not be in the postseason, though.
No.
And they're right. Of course, they're going to be. I mean, to me, I'm sure it's going to go right up to the end with this team.
I think it'd be hard to argue against that at this point. And look, I mean, like we said earlier in the show, the main thing is they just have not been able to get everything figured out at the same time. When they plug one hole, another one opens up. I mean, special teams have been a problem for the majority of the season. They seem like they're starting to get their penalty kill figured out a little bit now, but still just not quite good enough on the power play. I know they got a power play goal last night. I still don't think operating at the level, just from a talent perspective, that it should be at. You know, goaltending at one point this year was a huge problem for this team. It started to get a little bit better as of late. But now you can't score. I mean, your top forwards are not being productive offensively, where to start the season, I mean, Forsberg, I think, scored like five games in a row to begin the season. Duchesne had like 10 points in five games. Even Johansson, while he wasn't playing all that well, the points were coming because the power play was productive. He was still getting those points via assists that way. So you felt good about the offensive part of the game to start the season. They just had not been able to get everything clicking at the same time. And at this point, like, if you're a Predators fan and you're waiting on that to happen, that may be naive at this point. Like I said, we're 66 games in.
No, it's a good point. I mean, things have changed so much. Early on, it was all like, offense, okay. You know, power play, it looks like it's fixed. You know, defensive, and that's where I was like, okay, look, they're making all these mistakes in the defensive zone. We know what the goaltenders are. Like, they'll figure that out. And they didn't figure it out well enough, and Peter Laviolette lost his job. And I think they have gotten better and more responsible. Maybe the system changes suited them, but now you're not getting the production from your key guys. It's a broken record, and I can't imagine that they will be where they want to be if that doesn't change with at least one or two of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to. I mean, there's no question about that. And then, you know, we've talked about, you know, you've lost three games in a row now against quality competition. You've got a team in Dallas that's coming in here tomorrow night, and also that you're going to travel to on Saturday, that things just have not gone well lately against them. You've been basically blown out of the building twice against them this year, especially the way the second half of that Winter Classic went. I mean, they were just all over the Predators in that game. You think back to the playoff series a year ago, Dallas was in total control of that series, really from start to finish. It's just one of those things where, you know, if there was ever a time to right that ship and start to trend in the other way against the Stars, it's got to start now, because these two games, you lose both of those, I mean, you could be in a world of hurt at that point from a standings perspective.
Well, right. Like, I expect them to be there, you know, within range at the end. But yeah, if this matchup continues to be this much of a problem for you, then by the next time you play, which is next Tuesday at Montreal, you could be in a very uncomfortable spot in this race. So, if you look at these two, it's easy to look at them as the same team. You got to at least get 2 points out of these two games, to me. And you want more than that, but you have to get 2 points out of them.
Oh, I would agree 1,000%. And, you know, home games, you felt like they were starting to kind of trend in the right direction and play better. And then that third period happens on Monday night against Edmonton. And look, I think tomorrow night there's going to be a lot of emotion in the building. I think, number one, it's the Dallas Stars. That's a rivalry that's been created. But I think we'd be naive not to think that after everything our community has been through together, that the tornadoes have come in and the destruction that they've caused, I think you're going to see a pretty special environment tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. The crowd is going to be into it. They're going to want a reason to really blow the roof off of Bridgestone Arena tomorrow. And to me, it's up to the players now. You got to give them that reason. I mean, that's something they've been waiting for and waiting for all season long. I think if you can get out to an early start tomorrow against the Stars and get off to a great start, unlike they were able to do last night in Minnesota, that environment in there, I think, is going to be really special.
No, I mean, it's a good point, and obviously it's not the circumstance you want to create a great environment,
but
it will be. There's no question about it. It's the first gathering in that building since this happened, and so you're right. There will be more emotion in there than on an average, one of 41 games in the regular season. And you're also right that now this team needs to respond to that.
When we come back, we'll shift gears and get into a little NFL Combine talk. Michael Middlehurst-Schwartz from USA Today will join us to talk about some local prospects. Juwan Jennings, Jared Pinkney, didn't go so great for him at the Combine. We'll get into that next. ESPN 94.9 Game 2 is the official radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in this Saturday as Nashville SC hit the road to take on the Portland Timbers. Pregame begins at 5:45 p.m. with kickoff at 6 o'clock only on ESPN 94.9 Game 2. You're listening to Morning Drive live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Now at McDonald's, a sausage McMuffin is only $1.50. So stop dreaming about breakfast sausage and go get it. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.